problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Beach, drive, drop, park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCentral.com.
Sometimes when I wipe, I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe and I'll wipe 100 times, still poop, still poop.
Let me check that.
It's like I'm wiping a marker or something.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Steven Souza with the Tampa Bay Rays. You're listening right here with the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is William Lewis Koontz, and it's the love episode. That's right. You're like, yo, Valentine's Day was last week, idiot. I said, yeah, I know, but I'm recording this on Valentine's Day. That's right. This is being recorded on February 14th, 2018, and it's the love episode. I wanted to share my love experiences from my past. I wanted to get sexy up in here. And who better to do that with than my friend Joe? That's right. A man. He's going to be here. Joe Robertson's going to stop by shortly. He's a proprietor of Tap House 61, longtime supporter of this program. And he's going to stop by and we're going to talk about a bunch of awkward sex stuff and, you know, what he's into and, you know, unrequited loves and just terrible stuff that's happened to us growing up. He doesn't know this yet, of course, but I'm just going to bombard him with it. And he's going to tell me about it because he's a good sport. So I'm looking forward to that. Big news this week, before we get to that, though, was that the Rays want to leave St. Petersburg. Aw, man, are you kidding? Nope, I'm not. But they're just going across the bay. They want to go to Ybor City. They found a spot that they like and they're interested in. And I say, hey, you know what? Go for it. I will, of course, miss having the Rays here in St. Petersburg. I'm sure many of us will. But, you know, they want to try something else out. They want to try a new love affair with a new city. And I say on this love episode, bon voyage and good luck. Let's listen to Fox 13's reporting of this earlier this week with the unageable Kelly Ring. Has been on the air forever on Fox 13 here in Tampa Bay. Still looks awesome. Looks fantastic. Doesn't look a day over 42. Let's listen to Kelly Ring and Mark Wilson from Fox 13.
He wants to move the team to Tampa's Ybor City. During a press conference with Tampa's mayor and Hillsborough County leaders, he said the team's goal is to build a stadium there within the next 5 years. But standing in the way is $800 million and the concerns of some people in the community. Fox 13's Evan Axelbank is live in Ybor City at Atomo and Channelside, where the stadium would be built. Okay, what are the people in this historic neighborhood? What are they saying, Evan?
Well, Kelly, for the most part, there is excitement here. People here in Ybor City are saying that if the city can land the Tampa Bay Rays and build the stadium right where I am standing, that would cap off the city's push to have a complete City. But some are worried about things like traffic and taxes. They wonder, what if the stadium doesn't deliver as promised?
While it's too early for victory cigars, it is time to dream of how the Rays could harness Ybor City's history of Cubans.
Is that architectural? Is that cultural, that immigrant nation?
After the announcement, flags flew up and down 7th that said Raybor.
It'll really, really bring people back down into this area and make Ybor once again a great area to be.
Even those who announced the intention to build a maybe $800 million stadium admit it's still a field of dreams. If the team kicks in, say, $200 million and the mayor says property taxes are a non-starter, how much corporate money can be raised before public money is on the table?
The Rays deserve our best efforts. We don't know what the outcome will be, but I can certainly tell you from the city's perspective, we're going to put our best minds to the task.
The head of Ybor's development board is also concerned that using the land at Channelside and Adamo for a stadium would mean that they couldn't build apartments and stores there to add to the tax rolls to fund infrastructure improvements.
Unfortunately, sports stadiums are usually tax exempt. They don't bring in that tax revenue that we were expecting to see.
Another question about the Rays in Ybor is traffic. How do they funnel tens of thousands of cars towards a stadium in an area where the street grid is already complicated? Residents in Channelside would like an answer.
Have your ACs on, because it's actually going to be just stop and break and go and stop and go and stop and go.
And the mayor says that this is going to be a complicated deal, even under the best of circumstances. He said it's going to involve plenty of drama, and he said that with a smile. The hope is to have a stadium, as you said, Kelly, built within the next 5 years. But the question then becomes, if they can't put together a financial deal for this particular site, is that the end of the Tampa Bay Rays?
We certainly hope not. All right. I know.
No, it's not the end of the Tampa Bay Rays. What are you, out of your mind? At least it's not Montreal. Well, maybe that's what they're talking about. Go to Montreal. Ugh, good luck if you want to go there. No, man. I mean, we gotta support the team, right? We're gonna have all this great land to develop at the Tropicana Field. Like, they keep saying that, and I'm like, what could you possibly put there? I mean, I know it's a big plot of land, but I don't know. It just seems like it's in a weird location. But I guess that's what they hire architects and all these people who know what they're doing to do those things. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I wish them the best of luck either way. And, you know, if they stay here too, that'd be cool. I'd be all right with that. What do you think? Should the Rays go to Ybor or call in? 813-693-2124. Go to hmbradio.com. You can reach me over there. Twitter at @home_made_man. Joe Robertson's going to be here very shortly. He's going to tell me about all his traumatic love experiences, because this is the love episode of the Homemade Broadcast here on Radio St. Pete this week. And do you have any terrible love stories, been cheated on? Want to tell somebody to go screw? Call in. 813-693-2124. That's the voice and text line where I can be reached. And if you got a really good one, I might just play it on this program. So I encourage you to do that. I still got stickers and stuff. I ordered so many stickers, I don't think I'll ever get rid of them. TheHomemadeBroadcast@RadioSt.Pete.com. If you send me your mailing address, I'll even pay for the stamp. I'll ship you out some stickers, because I would like you to have them. So I'm happy to do that. And what else? Oh, before we get started, of course, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Oh, my goodness, how could I forget them? I would never. That's how. Tap House 61. Joe Roberts is going to be here shortly. TapHouse61.com. He's going to tell me more about all the stuff he's been doing, of course, and with the events he's going on. I know they got trivia Wednesday nights. It's always packed. I've gone in a few times on Wednesday and said, you know what, I got to leave. It's too crowded. But if you like trivia, that's a place for you. I don't particularly like trivia because I'm not a team player for the most part. So I don't play trivia, but lots of people do. So if you like trivia, I encourage you to go check out Tap House 61's. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Check them out when you get a chance. Tell them I sent you. And finally, Truvy Salon and Spa. Truvy is spelled T-R-U-V as in victory. Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North here in St. Pete. You can make an appointment right online at truvysalonandspa.com. and they can go get your hair did, get your nails did. There's a Botox lady that comes in. You can take those wrinkles out of your head or wherever you want wrinkles out of. Not my business, but, you know, do you. That's what I say. All right, Joe Robertson's here. We're going to talk unrequited love, terrible love stories, and maybe even some nice, pretty, kind love stories on this love edition of the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Howdy, Joe.
Hey, Will.
Go ahead and pull that microphone up nice and close. We're getting intimate here on the love episode of the Homemade Broadcast.
Oh, baby. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
That? Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Kiss it?
Yeah, you gotta put your mouth right on it.
Okay.
You know, just get nice and close and comfortable.
You're going to have to change this out.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards.
100%.
Okay. As long as you know.
Oh, I know. I change them every time.
I doubt it.
Because I care about my guests. No, yeah, I've never changed that, yeah, that exactly. Windscreen ever.
Okay, cool.
But, sorry, there was a pretty lady here last week. So, okay. I don't think she, if she did stink it up, it's a good stink.
I can smell her.
Yeah, it smells like brute.
Yeah.
Joe, you are the, proprietor of Tap House 61. Freshly rejuvenated. Well, I guess it's been a few months now.
It's been a year.
Has it been 1 year already?
Yeah, been a year since we officially changed the name. And we've been doing updates and, you know, minor renovations here and there for about a year.
I know you got trivia on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
I always make the mistake of coming in on a Wednesday night because
yeah.
I hate trivia. But people love trivia.
They do, you know. The people that are there for it, they go crazy. And I'm the type of guy, I'm the same mindset. I don't really like trivia. Like, if I go to a bar or restaurant and there's trivia, I walk out.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Same thing with a guy with a guitar. If I see one guy with a guitar, I'm like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the place. Like, if it's an outdoor beachy vibe place, like, that's cool. I have no problem with that because it kind of fits the atmosphere.
Right.
But if it's inside and you're just sitting at a bar and there's a guy blasting you, from right over here, then yeah, it's a little obnoxious.
And you feel almost obligated to kind of listen to him. Like, you know, I shouldn't talk. This guy's trying to play. And this
clap.
Means, you know, he loves this cover of Dave Matthews Band, and he wants to share it with us. And
kind
of disrespecting him.
I used to kind of think that. And then, you know, owning a bar and booking musicians and just knowing a bunch of musicians. I mean, they get paid to be there, and they get tips, so... And you know that. So it's like, it doesn't really matter whether I listen to you or pay attention.
They're probably, I mean, it's just like doing comedy in a bar, too. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's
that's brutal.
It is. That's, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I think the worst one, we did that one at Yard of Ale for a while, John Jacobs and I.
Yeah.
I hated it. Yeah. I had to get drunk to do it because I was like, this stinks. Everybody hates us. It's quite clear that they don't like us.
Yeah.
And I would just spend...
Who was the crowd? Was it just the comedians and their friends? Or did, like, the locals come in and enjoy it?
Well, there wasn't very many people there on a Tuesday night anyway.
True.
But the people... Oh, no, it was a Monday night. And the people that were there to watch Monday Night Football.
Oh, well, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
That would be the worst thing.
Yeah.
Sitting there trying to watch football. And
people
and,
did not like us one bit. But we had a pretty good run there, actually. We were there for quite a long period of time. I think it was over 6 months, which if you make an open mic last 6 months, that's pretty good.
It's not bad. Yeah, they come and go. So
yeah. So this is the love episode. I was thinking the other day that I know a few girls that I have loved that are dead.
Dead?
They're not alive anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
There was one. I don't want to use their names, of course.
Right. Well, I mean,
even though they're dead.
They're dead.
But just in case their family hears it or something. But there was a girl... who grew up on my street, that was like my first crush ever.
Mm-hmm.
And she
How
did
old
not.
Were you?
I was oh boy, I must have been. I was a little kid. It was between like the ages of 8 and I don't know, 14.
Right.
Maybe she was one of my first kisses. I remember she was going out with my buddy Nick,
mm-hmm.
and he had dared her to kiss me, and it was magic. Fireworks went off.
It was magic.
It was magic for me.
And you were like,
it was a goof for them.
You're like 8 to 11 when this happened?
I was probably 12.
12, okay.
I would say when this happened.
Yeah.
And I tried very hard to make her my girlfriend, and nothing ever worked.
Hmm.
And
wait, so he dared you to kiss her?
No, she dared her. He dared her to kiss me, and he was dating her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that changes it.
I know.
And then you're trying to make her your girlfriend after that?
Yeah, I tried very hard. I gave her my silver Figaro chain that my mom bought me.
Gotcha.
In a letter and confessed my love to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, she took the necklace, but was not my girlfriend at that point. We did remain friends for many years after that.
Did you ask her for the necklace back?
I did not. I wanted her to have it. I gave it to her.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, cause she passed away a couple years ago. She was sick, got sick with something. And she kind of got hooked on drugs. And she was one of the ones, you know, there's always a kid in your neighborhood that kind of, that you're friends with, and then they end up just going down that wrong path.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was one of those.
That was her.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But she did offer one time to have a threesome with her and her boyfriend many years later. I hadn't talked to her for many years, but we kind of remained in touch, like, on the computer and internet.
Right.
And she said she would do stuff to me while he was doing stuff to her.
Okay.
And I got to admit, I thought about it.
Well, yeah.
For a minute.
You think about it. Yeah, yeah.
But I just knew that she was not in the right frame of mind. So I turned her down.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I kind of wish I would have did it now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that's sometimes a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Not everybody can say that.
I know.
They've had that experience.
I turned down I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know how to talk about this. But intercourse with two ladies at the same time. Another time as well.
Right.
And I think it was more because I was afraid. Also, I didn't really like them. But I wasn't really attracted to them in a personal love
way. So you turned down
love way.
You turned down two girls.
Yep.
And they were ready and willing.
Yep.
And you said no.
I said no.
What was wrong with them?
Well, they just weren't particularly attractive. And now, again, I had to think about it.
Yeah.
It took some time. I had to, because is this going to happen again? Am I going to get this offer ever again?
Exactly. And it might not.
Could not.
Yeah.
So I thought about it and decided that, no, this wasn't going to be for me. So I turned it down. Have you ever engaged in lovemaking with more than one lady at a time? Or perhaps man. Maybe man slipped in there. Who's to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I haven't.
You haven't?
There's never been.
Were you afraid?
No, it's just the opportunity hasn't come up.
Really?
I'm not really like a swinger type of guy, and the girls that I've dated were kind of like all in, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't really.
You're a girlfriend guy. You've always been, since I've known you anyways, like you tend to just pick one and.
Yeah, for the most part. Dating's tough.
Oh my God.
Exhausting. It's like if you meet somebody, I'm picky though, you know? So like if I do end up going out with somebody, it's like it's in the back of my mind that, okay, I plan on dating this person for as long as it lasts. It's never like, you know, I never just go out with people randomly just for the heck of it. So there's always, yeah, always that.
Did you try the Tinder thing ever?
I did plenty of fish when it first.
Wow.
Yeah, when it
that's
first.
That's the dirty
came
one. Everyone always thinks that Tinder is the hookup one, but
yeah,
from my understanding, plenty of fish is the dirty bird go there.
It was kind of sketchy back then. I mean, it was before like there were any apps to do this. So it was just this sketchy website. And one of my buddies got me into it, and he was kind of like a jockey type of guy. And he's like, hey, man, you know, you got to check out this website. He's like, I got this perfect formula.
And I got like, the algorithm.
That's right. That's right. And so I went over to his house one time. I'm like, all right, I'm single. I haven't dated anybody. It was probably like, I don't know, a year at this time. I think I was in college still. I was like, whatever, I'll check it out. And so he pulls it up, and he's like, all you have to do is just write some stupid message to the girls, like something goofy, something that the other guys won't write, because they always get messages like, hey, beautiful, you know, I'd like to take you out for coffee, or, you know, I see that you like biking. I like biking too. All that stuff that they're used to seeing. And so they just filter it out. But he was like, if you start like the message topic with something goofy or something unexpected, and then they open it, then they're immediately drawn in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And so he sat there and he typed up something. And then within like 5 minutes, the girl responded, and she was like, "You're weird."
I'm like, yeah, that could be good.
And so they started a conversation. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. And so I did that. Like, I think one of the lines that I did is, like, the topic message was, you and I, or when you and I get married, we should, ... And so you'd have to open the message. And so then the message would say, get a dog named Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. They went crazy for it.
And wow, that's pretty easy. You should just put, like, totally do it.
I think they're used to that. I think that's kind of what the other guys were doing.
Yeah.
And so,
it must work. I got to say, because they must have some success, some of these guys with that. Just like, yo.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, yeah.
Want to do it? And sometimes they're like, okay,
you think,
sure.
You think that works? You think
it must, because it seems like that's pretty common that men do that.
Maybe now. I don't know.
I always get annoyed. There's a one called Bumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Bumble is like Tinder where you swipe.
You swipe.
If you like them.
Well, the girls swipe, though.
No, you also swipe to create the initial match.
Huh.
Now, she has to message first, though.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is perfect because then, you know, you're not going to, you know, waste their time or whatever. Right. Sometimes if it was a drunk swipe,
mm-hmm.
as most of my swipes have been. But, you know, I'm not as picky, I think, as you are.
Right.
I have a broad spectrum of ladies that I'm into.
There's a lot of fish in the sea. You can't block off.
My goodness.
Certain areas.
Are there ever.
Yeah.
But now that makes them have to be clever. And I like these profiles. Well, this is what I'm saying, is that I've seen profiles like on Tinder where they're like, if all you're going to say is hi, then move along.
Move along, right.
Whoa. Well, what else are you supposed to say to these people, you know?
You got
to
come up with something clever.
However, I've never gotten a message from a lady on Bumble that's been anything other than, hey, to start out with.
Well, then the ball's just in your court again. It's exactly Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it just irritates me that there's so many of these. Well, if you're just going to say that and buzz off, loser. And then it's like,
that's how they initiate the conversation.
And that's how you initiate a conversation.
Right.
I get it. Usually, and if you click some magic, but you see, you don't really get that online. You know, you have to be face to face. You have to get your pheromones, you know, wafting in the air, and you have to read facial expressions. There's so much communication that's not just, you know, through text or speech. There's a lot of other stuff that you miss on this app. So, it's the
gateway to that, you know.
Right. It's usually go on, like, what happens is usually, like, I go on pre-dates. So I'll do a coffee date just to see if I would consider going out with them.
Right, yeah.
And then you go on, like, a real date. Because I'm not going to spend, I don't have money to spend anyways.
Right.
But I'm not going to, you know, go to a nice dinner with somebody I don't even know.
Well, and it's a coffee date is a little bit more temporary than taking out for a drink. You can't just bail after one drink. You're like, all right, it was nice meeting you. You know, usually they expect you to hang around for 2 or 3 weeks. But if you just have one coffee, it lasts 8 minutes. You realize that it's not going to work. It's like, well, hey, it's great meeting you. And you move on.
It's perfect.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's a good idea.
And I've had some of them, too, that will be like, I don't drink coffee. Let's go get beers. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I'm totally down to do that. But it seems like you're putting yourself in a predicament, potentially. You're going
to
go have beers with a – no.
Oh.
I just said, sure.
Okay, well, fair enough.
But, yeah, I mean, you're putting yourself at risk there.
Well, maybe those are the ones that just want to do it.
Probably.
Yeah.
And God bless them.
God bless them. I have no
problem with that whatsoever.
So have you ever gotten that type of message where a girl just messaged you, whether it's Bumble or Tinder? I don't know if you can message on Tinder. And it says – let's do it.
Not directly, but you can kind of tell that's where it's going at a certain point.
Yeah.
You'll get a picture or something, or it'll send you, like, Snapchat. Snapchat's really good for that type of stuff to gauge where you're at.
I imagine.
But I've actually been out on, like, 4 dates with a gal. Like, we went out last night.
Like, recently?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think I actually kind of like this one, so I'm kind of excited.
How'd you meet her?
Friggin' Tinder, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had this, my friend Nicole was telling me, she's like, you need to get off Tinder because it's...
You need to get on Tinder or
get
off?
Get off. She goes, you're too good for, you're too good of a guy for Tinder. You're just going to get drugged through the mud. I'm like, screw you. You met your, you know, almost fiance on Tinder.
Maybe I like being drugged through the mud.
Well, yeah, I certainly don't mind it. Yeah. But she's like, you know, I was like, you met your fiance or whatever he is, almost fiance on Tinder. Mm-hmm. She goes, yes, but we're the exception, not the rule.
Whatever.
And that teed me off too immediately.
Like, I'm going to go find a wife right now.
Yeah, but I mean, it has been, I've used it for years off and on since its existence, and it's really tough to find somebody out there.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's why all these apps exist. What about, have you thought about like Match.com or eHarmony, or are you not that serious yet?
I've thought about it. I just don't want to pay for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like $50 a month or something like that. But that's how they weed out the guys you just want to bang. The guys and girls that just want to bang and never call the person back, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you know, with my schedule, too, I'm almost like, that's fine, you know, if that's what it is. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on with this one, but my buddy was asking me, he's like, well, what do you like about her? And I was like, uh-oh, I don't really have an answer offhand. But the big thing was that no kids and never married. That is a diamond in the rough when you're in your 30s.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that, and that was always the biggest thing is when you're our age, all the single girls are the ones that have kids and have been married previously. So.
And it's, it just is what, and like, I got scolded by one of my lady friends about this, you know, well, you're not going to date, you know, I've dated women with kids, and I'm not opposed to it necessarily. It's just not in my day-to-day life.
It's not where you
want
to be.
If I had a kid, it would be cool because then we could get the kids together, go to Chuck E. Cheese, like hang out, go to the park.
Yeah.
But it's just not in my wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's just so different.
Not what you want. It's not what you want. Mm-hmm. You know. So
it just doesn't fit my lifestyle. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been a big.
So four dates, huh?
Four dates.
Nice, man. Nice.
Yeah. I think we're actually going out. We're going to go see Colin Quinn at the Capitol Theater.
Okay.
This Saturday.
There you go.
Or, well, it's last Saturday when this airs. But I'm sure it went great. And the date, because this won't air.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I feel like I really dropped.
I was a little confused
there. I should have done the Valentine's Day episode last week.
Right, because then it would have aired this week.
Yeah, well.
So, well, I mean, we should just go ahead and apologize now.
I did previously when I recorded the intro.
Okay.
Yeah, I already took care of that. Joe Robertson's here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. He's a proprietor of Tap House 61 here in St. Pete, 2061 Central Avenue. Joe, what's your favorite thing about the bar, the newly renovated bar? What do you look at when you go in there and go, wow, this is awesome? Uh-oh.
I mean, we've done a lot. The place
looks completely different.
Yeah, it's basically a whole new bar. The place is beautiful. It's hard to really pick one thing because the new bar extension is beautiful. The huge shelves that we built along the side, like those are all, we have lights on them to light up all the hundreds of different beers that we have. The deck in the back. So, I mean, if I had to pick something, it'd be one of those three. Like, those are the big eye catchers, and I really think they bring the place together. And also the roll up door with the outside bar.
That's cool. I've sat there a few times.
Yeah. People love that. I don't know why. I mean, but it's like
you get to be inside and outside at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a unique feeling.
Right.
It's like when you go visit the Midwest or the West Coast, and you get Colorado, Nebraska, Utah, and those little four corners thing, and you can lay in there. You can lay on the center and be in all four states at once.
Yeah. I mean,
same concept.
Sometimes they lie on the bar there. So,
it does happen.
Body shots and whatnot.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
When did you learn what lovemaking was? Was there an event where you figured it out?
Like the whole birds,
like when you were a kid?
Talk?
Yeah. Well, not the talk, but like was there an instance, like mine, I'll tell you mine, for example, was I saw the movie Boys in the Hood when I was 6 years old.
Classic
my cousin babysat me. She was 10 years older, and she was also a deviant.
Right.
And just watched Boys in the Hood, and I happened to be there, so I was watching as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a scene, and I kind of knew what was going on anyways, but that had confirmed it.
At the age of six, you knew what was going on?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. when I remember when I was like 10, my mom asked me if I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. I explained to her where I learned. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's like the only memory I have of actually talking about it with a parent.
Did you, when you had spoken to her, did you get anything wrong that she corrected you on?
No, no.
You knew exactly.
Yeah, she was just like, okay.
The fluids and everything you were familiar with?
No, I didn't, you know, I didn't go into that. It was just like, this goes into that.
Because my dad had asked me.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that you had to tinkle inside the lady.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't remember the comment. I might have gone into the details of it. You know what? I think I might have learned it from Look Who's Talking.
Okay.
Because the whole intro is the seamen swimming
yes.
and whatnot. I think that's I might have learned it because that was a great movie.
Yeah.
And I watched it when I was young. So that might be where I learned it from.
It was fantastic. And then, you know, you kind of piece the other parts where what goes in where later.
Yep.
And then you're like, I got it.
I figured this out. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had unrequited love? Do you know what that means?
No.
An unrequited love is somebody you were very much had affection for that probably did not share that feeling, or maybe liked you as a friend. Friend-zoned, I guess, would be another term for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody had that in, like, one form or another in high school. Mm-hmm. Even middle school. Like, there's, you're somebody.
I have way more than one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one in high school. And it was just, yeah, I was, like, obsessed. We were friends and stuff, but, like, you know, in the friend zone, obviously. She was cool. I was nerdy. So you knew it was never going to happen. And, that would be a good example of it. And then come to find out, years later, she was actually into me. I'm like,
and you just didn't know.
Yeah,
and you didn't. You were too afraid to.
Yeah, I was like 110 pounds, little nerdy kid. And,
yeah,
you know, I didn't have any confidence back then. So
right.
I'm not going to ask one of the most popular girls. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be a good instance of it.
So it really wasn't unrequited then, because she did, in fact.
It was at the time though, because I didn't know. I had no idea. And so it's not like it was reciprocal, like we were friends, but I never got like the reciprocating.
But you didn't thing. Really, you didn't really pursue either.
Correct.
So it was just pal, and gave her a little punch on the arm when you were walking to class.
No, actually, like I think I asked her out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I did. I asked her out in high school. It was probably sophomore year. And she said that her parents won't let her date at this age, which I think was like 16 or something like that. 15,
okay. That's
16.
Probably true.
It wasn't.
Oh, it was not.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
she's trying to let you down easy. She wanted you to play to go get her. Play a little hard to get.
I don't think that's what it was.
No.
But I think it's just she wasn't interested at
you
the time.
You think that you wore her down, perhaps?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I got kind of, you know, as high school went on, I came out of my shell a little bit. I was in weightlifting classes. And so, you know, I put on some pounds and, you know, I was, I think I was in a better state socially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's when her love might have blossomed. I don't know.
Wow. And then at that time you weren't interested?
No, I was dating somebody else.
Oh,
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
You missed snooze, the boat. You lose, you lady.
Boat, man. Exactly.
That's right. Wow.
Man, she could have had all this glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My unrequited love is dead.
Wow.
I don't know. It's the same one. And then there was, or married to other men now, most of them.
Okay.
Pretty much every friend now that I have that's a girl,
mm-hmm.
I fell in love with. There was a reason why I kept them around.
Okay,
do you think you can be friends with the opposite sex?
I don't think you can be friends with the opposite sex without some sort of attraction,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. For
right.
people who say that there's not an attraction, I just don't believe it. It doesn't mean you have to act on it and you guys have to date or fool around or anything, but I always think somebody's attracted to somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Either one way or another, and then you just accept your fate, and then you're just like, well, I like you, you're cool.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
I'll still hang with you.
Right.
Yeah. How old were you, and where did you lose your virginity, Joe?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Do you have a good story?
I mean,
is it behind a dumpster?
Almost.
Really?
So I was 16.
What was her name?
I'm not going to tell you her name.
I was talking about the dumpster.
So I was 16. And it was at a playground. At night.
Nice.
At night, yeah.
That's why you're no longer allowed on playgrounds. That's to be 500 feet away.
That, among other things. Yep. But yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it special? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the first time. So it was like, and I was dating the girl. Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, we were boyfriend, girlfriend in high school, and that's when it happened. And so, like, that just kind of seals the deal at that time. It's like, oh, my God, I love this person. This is amazing. This is what happened. And you're just kind of – you just have this mindset about you, and you're in the clouds about it. So, yeah, it was great.
Did
yeah.
you use protection?
Yes. You we did. Good. We did.
Smart man.
Yep.
Smart
yep. Man. Yep.
Don't want any little Joeys running around.
Oh, God, no. No, I don't think anybody wants that. So.
I lost mine in the back of a Ford Escape behind the Largo Mall movie theater.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awful. I hated it. I did not enjoy it.
How old were you?
I was 18.
18?
Yeah.
So and you went through high school?
Went through high school. Well, I was like, I'm not much better now, but I was super fat back then.
Right.
And just goofy and socially more socially awkward than I am now. Mm-hmm. So just me amplified with all the negative qualities up to 10.
Okay. Were you funny back then?
I think I was funny. Okay. Yeah.
So you at least had that.
Yeah. I at least had that going for me.
Right,
but,
right.
Overall, it wasn't great. So just to look at, it wasn't great. Oh. And my mom cut my hair, and she cut women's hair. So I just had a lady's haircut all through high school, pretty much. I don't know why I let her do that, but should have just buzzed it. I would have been
better. Should have buzzed it, man, yeah.
I just had a little pixie cut.
But when you're young, you're stupid. You don't know what looks good.
She just said, I'm going to cut your hair. I said, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
My hair was stupid back then, too.
So did you have the bowl cut?
I did. Yeah. I did up to a certain point, and then, like, the surfer's cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the mid-late 90s rolled around, everybody was, like, spiking their hair.
Right.
Like, Offspring.
Frosted tips.
Linkin Park type of crap. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And, yeah, we had frosted tips and, you know.
I'm glad I never had that. I didn't have a bowl cut either.
Yeah.
I wanted one.
Yeah, badly. Yeah. They were the thing
everybody
back
had them.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, yeah, he made it look good. The thing, like, because he had it angled properly. Our bowl cuts, because we were poor, was like it looked like somebody put a bowl on your head.
Yeah,
and it was just
that's exactly
like,
what they did.
It was like this. There was no, it wasn't like layered or anything.
Nope.
It looked, and then we tried to part it in the middle with like hairspray.
Yes.
And it was just this.
It was so tough and
wet mess.
Yeah.
And just sitting back. Yeah.
I did the same thing. I plastered my hair down.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Yeah, so dumb. So, yeah, I lost my virginity at 18 in the back of the Largo Mall movie theater to a girl with one leg was longer than the other.
Yeah, a lot of people have that, don't they?
She
was this noticeable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She walked with a limp. Yeah. it was so bad that I thought, I'm never doing this again when I was done. And I was like, look, I don't know when this is going to happen again for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going full tilt. I'm getting the full experience. So I went head first, literally, into some of this stuff, and it was not enjoyable.
No, it wasn't.
I did not like
that. How did it transpire? Like, how did it come about?
This girl was in a relationship with a man, well, a boy, I guess at that time, a 17-year-old boy or whatever, 18, whatever, and she just wanted to do it with somebody else. They had broken up, and we kind of just arranged it. Like, she's like, yo, I'm trying to get some. And I was like, I'd like to as well. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. And then she picked me up.
Was it like through text? Because back
then. It was very unromantic.
Was it? Okay.
I think it was probably through phone calls at that point.
Because, yeah, we weren't really texting back then.
I don't think I had a cell phone back then.
Yeah.
So she had to like call my house phone and come pick me up. And we had to like figure out how we're going to do it. And it was like 4 p.m. Really, it wasn't even nighttime. It was so uncomfortable.
That's such a terrible story.
It's so bad.
What?
And I actually didn't do it again for many months. Well, then like summer happened. I lost a bunch of weight. I lost like 80 pounds. I went to the gym and then started to like get attention from some ladies and stuff.
Were you in college at this point then?
I was going into college.
Yeah.
I think I was like beginning of senior year when this happened. So I didn't do anything the rest of senior year. I finally got to college and stuff. And then I finally was going to do it again. And I was like, oh, I don't think I like this. This is not fun. It's not enjoyable. And it ended up being much better the second time.
Right,
and I was like, oh, God, it's not
this
like this every time.
This is what it's supposed to be like. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, and then it was all downhill from there, boy. Holy moly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
running the train.
Yeah. Yeah. More ways than one, yeah, if right. you catch my drift. No, not really. That's not true at all. All right, on that awkward note, let's get the heck out of here. Thanks, Joe, for coming on. Check out Tap House 61 if you're here in St. Pete, 2061 Central Avenue. Make sure you get the subscribe to the podcast and like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. If you have a terrible lovemaking experience, I'd love to hear it. 813-693-2124. That's my voicemail line. You can leave a voicemail or SMS text message at that place. On Twitter, home_made_man. You can follow me on there. Stay woke on 102.5 The Bone FM here locally in Tampa Bay, thebononline.com. Monday through Friday at midnight with Anna Hummel and myself co-hosting. It's always a fun time. We're on the app now over there. That's pretty cool. Real Deal Show. Got a show page and everything. It's very exciting. Very exciting stuff. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next if it's a Sunday evening. Indie Circuit after that at 10. Make sure you rate and subscribe to the podcast. HMB Radio, one word. Tampa Bay. Keep up to date with future shows. This has been the Love Show. Valentine's Day special, almost 1 week late. Thanks for tuning in. The homemade broadcast, HMB Radio, on Radio St. Pete. Will Coates. I love you. Yes, you. It's true. Bye bye.
All knowing everything. Fate falls right.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.